basically, environment is life, and biodiversity simply means biological diversity, and it's the variation of all living organisms, and or the terrestrial, marine, and aquatic environments or habitats. So these different organisms, like animals and plants, constitute the environment, and they are very important for our sustainability. So, for example, the ecosystem services that that biodiversity provides includes, like, the fresh air that we are breathing, the clean water, the crops that we are having, medicines, the climate. All these sustains life on Earth. So it's very important to value biodiversity. That's the reason why we have the theme of this year. But the theme is always agreed, because there is something not right happening. As you alluded in the beginning, that over 1 million species face extinction. That simply means we are not doing the right thing.
All right. And let's talk about that. What are we not doing right?
Like, just take our case, South Sudan. We are exploiting our forest. We are polluting our streams. When you go around Juba, you see plastic bottles, plastic bags. We are burning our pasture lands. And we are also poaching our wildlife in a very serious manner, that wildlife is getting extinct in the country. So, and also, all these activities that we are doing is contributing towards climate change. Now, South Sudan has the largest wetlands in Africa, or even the world now, the Sud. And now, when it rains in Juba alone, because of the lack of waste management, sustainable waste management, all the plastic bottles that we are dumping in Korbo, Lobolet, Korwolian, they all get washed to the river. And there, it proceeds to the Sud, which is only like a certain 5 kilometers away from here.
Absolutely.
So now these plastic bottles are all trapped there, and they're not degradable. So our fish are now contaminated, because we'll be having fish with some content of plastic. The floor of the Sud, of the wetland, will be clogged with plastic bottles. That means planktons or microorganisms that are supposed to do the processes of the decomposing whatever natural organisms down there will not be able to function. So we are actually clogging the Sud. And the Sud is one of our hotspots for biodiversity in the country. We have over 300 species of fish, over 1,000 species of different birds. We have plants, paiparas, and that's an ecosystem that is really controlling the climate regime in the region. That is where we also have transport evaporation, where we have clouds and we are supplying rains to Ethiopia, to Uganda, Kenya, and all that. So the ecosystem services provided by the Sud is really immense. But our activities in the towns, we are actually clogging it, and we don't know that we are doing that.
Right.
So that is something that we like to address. That's why our local theme in South Sudan this year for this World Environment Day is, let us manage our waste to save biodiversity.
All right. Now, growing up in South Sudan and been seeing how, you know, changes have gone, what changes have you witnessed in South Sudan's environment, you know, from that time up to now?
Oh, I'm a native of Juba, though I'm originally from Torit, but I grew up in Juba. Juba has changed. The circumference of Juba in the 70s up to the 80s was only Nyakoron Culture Center. Mm-hmm. Anything beyond that was a forest. We were unable to see a rock in Jebel Kujur. And behind the ministries, that is where the boundary was. Mm-hmm. So Tom Ping and the rest was just a swampland. And there was a forest from Jebel Kujur up to Gabat here. Wow. So you cannot see anything. Mm-hmm. Okay. So from the airport, that was it. So from Tom Ping here, there used to be Murahat.
Where we are right now.
Yeah, where we are. This is the swampy area. Okay. And the other territory was Kator or Lologo. That was it. Mm-hmm. And a few people in Gomba. So that was Juba, and the population by then might be around 80 to 100,000. But after 2005, the city exploded haphazardly, mm-hmm. not planned. Now we have the Gudeles, we have the Gureis, we have Jebel Denka, we have Sherikat, we have all this. And with that explosion, we have seen the loss of
our forest,
mm-hmm. our animals, because by then every Saturday people just go to Jebel Kujur for hunting, just behind Gumbo, Belenyang, mm-hmm. and the Moros were good at that. They always go with their arrows, and it was sustainable by then. But now, that's the changes. Now we have seen there is nothing in Jebel Kujur. Jebel Kujur is bare. We never had plastic bottles. Well, it's luxury. Mm-hmm. We walked. And I think by then Juba had only 50 cars or something, but still they had accidents. I don't know how. So now human beings have impacted the environment, mm-hmm. and unsustainably. That's why we are having these issues. The Minister of Environment is here to make sure that we conserve, protect, and sustainably exploit the environment. Mm-hmm. And that's in our policy.
Right. Now, talking about that, in a country grappling with conflict and its challenges, I mean, people have turned against nature. That's like destroying the trees for charcoal, as you did mention earlier, and hunting down animals for food. How then do we protect this biodiversity?
One thing, that there are solutions for everything. Okay. Like the issue of charcoal, because 99.9% of the people in South Sudan depend on charcoal as a source of energy. Timber for construction in the villages, people use fuel, wood, and all that. But we can have a holistic solution to that. Now we are an oil producing country, and we are flaring a lot of gas in the oil fields. So for us to be able to cut down the use of charcoal, we need to have an alternative source of energy. Either we can go with electricity or gas. At the same time, we can also use fuel-efficient stoves that will also try to reduce the quantity of the volume that we are using. And at the same time, the easiest thing is cut one, plant three. Mm-hmm. Okay, those are practical things that people can do. And the most dangerous thing that's happening now with our forest is, not only if we are supposed to be using the charcoal within the country to not being sustainable, but now it has become a hot commodity because mm-hmm. people are smuggling it to the Gulf States. Here, a bag of charcoal will be around maybe $10, mm-hmm. but there it's around $150. So it's become a big business mm-hmm. where we in the ministry have been monitoring. The minister has issued ministerial orders banning the exportation of charcoal, but still, people are still making, even this airport. Mm-hmm. There are planes that are cargo planes that people, and some big wigs, I have to say that, who do that, because that's the reality of things.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that with the ban, even it's not being implemented?
People are still finding their ways.
Why is it not implemented?
The porous borders and the lack of awareness and nationalism from our people. They think that they are making money But that money, you won't be able to sustain your family in an environment that won't be able to provide life to those people.
Right.
So that's the lack of awareness that needs to be corrected.
Right. You mentioned earlier about oil fields, and I would like to go there because we've seen, you know, the contamination of the environment that is having these oil fields. In Unity State, in some parts of Upper Nile State, we've seen children who have been born with deformations and all that. In your ministry, as in Ministry of Environment, what are you doing in order to try to prevent this?
I knew you would be coming there because this issue of oil pollution in the oil fields. Mm-hmm. Pollution in the oil fields is a big, big issue. There are several reports that have come up, and it's alarming. We in the ministry, in our policy, environmental impact assessments and environmental audits are supposed to be conducted annually by anybody operating in the oil fields.
Mm-hmm.
When I took over as the undersecretary some 3 years ago, I requested all the operating companies, oil operating, joint operating companies, I don't know how we call them, mm-hmm. DPOC, GPOC, and SPOC,
mm-hmm.
to provide us with the environmental audits, the annual environmental audits that they have been conducting in their operations. It took me close to 6 months, back and forth, please get this, please do that. And we have an issue. The Petroleum Act is having, we have some contradictions there,
mm-hmm.
because it gives the Minister of Petroleum the sole responsibility to take care of the environment, and that's not supposed to be that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's something that we'll try to address as government to be amended, because the oversight of anything regarding the environment is supposed to lie with the Minister of Environment.
Mm-hmm.
These folks gave us some hush-hush documents, which I found not to be credible. And that simply means they've been operating without conducting environmental audits.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a legacy that was imported from Sudan, because by then, the operations there was actually a looting spree.
Mm-hmm.
But we as a country now, we like to make sure that what they are doing has to be friendly to the environment. We have a lot of produced water. We have chemicals not being stored in a good way. We have expired chemicals. And our people have access to those things.
Mm-hmm.
Animals do have access there. So it's now upon us as a Minister of Environment to flex our muscles, and we're doing it.
Yes, and that's what I want to know now. How serious are you taking this? Is it as a matter of emergency? How urgent are you taking this in your ministry? Because we've seen the impact, like, really, to the people who are staying around there.
When you have some issues with laws, you know, dealing with an act and all that kind of stuff, we have to find our way into that system. Even though it's not the right act that the petroleum should have,
mm-hmm.
we manage to have our influence. So we have together worked out to commission an environmental audit of all the oil fields. And all these issues that have been raised from NGOs, from civil society, and other government institutions will be looked into. And the produced water, we'll try to test what kind of chemicals are there. We'll try even to test the DNA of people,
mm-hmm.
blood samples, and all this kind of stuff will be done. And if the recommendations are out, then we'll try to see the extent, the conclusions and recommendations are that we'll try to see the extent of damage. Because if the environment is damaged, they have to make sure that they rehabilitate it to its original state.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not new in this. I worked for the United Nations Environment Program, Post-Conflict and Disaster Management Branch based in Geneva, and I was the manager of UNEP office in Khartoum and in Juba here. You might know about the issue of Ogoni, the Ogoni area, Niger Delta. Their shell has screwed up the environment there,
mm-hmm.
and we were given the responsibility as UNEP to conduct an environmental assessment. We did our part. We found that, yes, there have been a lot of negligence from the company. Now Shell is going to pay over $100 billion in order to rehabilitate that area and to restitute and to compensate the people. So my advice to the oil operating companies here, whatever you do it right from the very beginning, you will enjoy your money. You do it haphazardly, wrongly, even though you are out of here, and even though I will not be an undersecretary, somebody will be here 10, 50 years later, the new generations of the country have the right to sue you people, and you'll be able to pay billions and billions of dollars. So do it right now, such that you save your money in paying back the damage that you have done.
Great.
Okay.
Yes, and this particular day, which is the World Environment Day, is more, of course, of creating awareness, raising event. Now, we talked about quite a lot of things here, but let's come to the basics now. Like in Juba, if you just move around, as you didn't mention as well, we see a lot of plastic bags, we see a lot of these polythene bags and water bottles, of course, all over contaminating our environment. Earlier today in our talking point, one of the callers from Meridio, who is a farmer, and he did mention that for him, as someone who is farming, he finds it really so hard because there's a lot of polythene bags, and these bags, of course, does not allow water to get to the soil, and it's affecting his farming. Now, what advice would you like to give, especially to the ordinary citizens on day-to-day uses of these polythene bags and plastic bottles? How are we supposed to handle this?
Yeah, it was the Ministry of Environment in 2015 that banned the use of single plastic bags. Okay. By then, it was not easy for us to implement, because we, as the Ministry of Environment, we are a policy-making body. And I would like to put a caveat here. Because when people hear environment, automatically they connect us with waste and everything. That's right, because we have an oversight on that. But the people who are supposed to implement that is the city council and the county, local governments and all that kind. We try to work hard. And also traders who are trading in plastic bags were not happy. Mm-hmm. But eventually, former mayor Stephen Wani, and I think God bless him, he was somebody who was environmentally conscious and he knew about the impacts of plastic bags. We kind of like brought that the order back, the ministerial order, and we renewed it, and automatically he implemented. We made sure that the economic division of the national security, the customs, the police, and everybody in the borders won't allow plastic bags to enter the country. In the neighborhood, in the region, Kenya, Rwanda, now Tanzania, banned the use of plastic bags. Rwanda was very effective. Uganda did something, but they did not go through. And now our headache here is Uganda. Because all the plastic bags that are coming in are not coming in big, huge quantities. It's only the small buses bringing in and people disguising them as clothes or anything, but under it, there are plastic bags. But again, also, we have our people, our guys in uniform that are dealing in this. We have arrested many, and now you will not find a shop selling plastic bags, but you'll find school age kids with backpacks in their bags, and they are now going from shop to shop selling that. That is one thing there. That's one thing. But the most important thing is, if our people do understand the impact of plastic bags, because they are not biodegradable, they can be there for hundreds of years. Okay? And these plastic bags have not come up from the shop and
spread around.
Somebody took it. Okay, now it is a catch-22. people are now pointing, oh, there are a lot of plastic bags, or even these plastic bottles. You see, yeah. V8s and everything. I have a V8. I even have some there, but I don't destroy them. I just keep them. I take them home. So people are throwing, okay? But the most important thing I will appeal to South Sudanese, because if you don't buy it and if you don't use it, that simply means it will have no market. But if you don't understand the impact of that your environment, and now people are crying, grasses are not growing, animals are eating and dying, and blah, blah, blah. All these impacts are there. But again, it did not happen alone. If you leave a plastic bag on a bottle or on a table, it will be there for ages. But it's us who took it, used it and threw it.
Yes, and that's the thing. You can't just tell people not to use it if there are no alternatives. Because if you go to the market and you're buying these small things, sugar, salt, whatever it is, they give you these plastic bags. What alternative was there in place to ensure that while people have this to use, then this one here?
The problem is, in anything, if there is an order that bans something, that's a business opportunity. Okay, if, for example, now plastic bags are banned, the business guy who has been importing plastic bags can now import paper, okay, or the biodegradable bags, okay? That's an opportunity there, okay? You cannot just say because now plastic bags are not there, we don't have any alternative. The alternative, they are gufa betana data jav de fi. Ita bag der kaito later domoria bardo. But the people, there are some very lame things that people are saying. Well, I kisal jadid de domta blaham gitalawe. All these, yeah. you know, when you are kind of like wired, programmed into something. That's a simplicity. Teaching an old dog new tricks is difficult. Indeed. But again, until people start seeing what we are having now, the first rains. Now, driving here to the headquarters of the United Nations mission in South Sudan, it's hell.
The airport road,
okay?
Yeah.
And I don't know how you people are enjoying it. And your administration has to do something.
Well, that's the role of the city council, I do believe. It's a government role. It's not for the United Nations.
But also you can, corporate social responsibility and individual responsibility, if you love it, okay, let's stay. You can do it.
All right.
You have soldiers that you can just simply, okay, let's get this truck, let's clear this place, open.
Okay, let's get back to talking about our environment.
Yeah, okay.
I believe they listen to it and they will definitely try to do something. So yes, as we continue, today's World Environment Day, are there some events that will happen here in the country, in Juba or in other parts of the country?
We have discouraged any functions to happen because of the pandemic that we are grappling with. The ministry will be issuing a statement on this day, and we'll be focusing on waste management because we'll now try to prioritize waste management because it's something that is contributing to the pollution of our environment. It is us. We have not to look anywhere. We just have to look to the mirror, and you'll see who is doing that, including me.
Indeed.
Okay? So we need to change our ways of how we treat the environment. We need to respect trees, because with trees, that's where our oxygen is coming. We need to respect our animals. South Sudan, we are the Garden of Eden. Okay, as an undersecretary of environment, that I'm so delighted to have this country and to be a citizen of this country. We are one of the richest countries on earth. But you see, the problem with rich people, they forget that they are rich and they would like to look somewhere else. So, conflicts, let's shun that. Let's try to see, because everything that we have here is money. Okay. When I go around and I see foreigners, okay, I'm not xenophobic, but the reality is, whatever is happening, making chapati, carrying water with jerry cans, wheelbarrows, and being in the market and everything, that's what our people are supposed to do to enjoy the biodiversity that we have. The biodiversity that we have is our wealth. It's not the finite oil that we are all geared to. because everybody now thinks that, oh, just there, Bentiu or Tarjaz or Leshenubi Jibogurush. No. That money is supposed to be willing our agricultural schemes, anything, our industries, our schools, and improve that. But also, each and every one of us have to do something. Okay? The government is not going to employ 12 million people. Okay? We need businesses, real businesses, industries. We need, those opportunities are there. And the environment is there to provide those services to us.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we lacking?
Right. Yes, Undersecretary, it's been really good talking to you. We can talk all day, but that's the time we have right now. So as you go, before you go, what message do you have for the people of South Sudan on this World Environment Day?
The message that I have to the people of South Sudan is the environment is not static. Okay? It changes. As I said from the very beginning, when we grew up here in Juba, we knew the limits and we have seen the changes. And the most important thing, if we change our attitudes and respect the environment, we'll be able to bring it back. Okay? And I would like to urge my people here in Juba, our people in Juba, okay, we are sinking with plastic bottles, plastic bags, waste everywhere. Please, let's change our ways of managing waste. Again, this message goes to the plastic water bottle factories. You people have a responsibility to make sure that these bottles are recycled or used properly. If you cannot do that, we'll ask you to be using glass bottles, not plastic bottles. We have the authority to do that. Finally, the city council, do your work. You are getting a lot of money from people, but you are not giving the services that are supposed to be done. Collecting waste in the town, cleaning the streets, making sure that the environment is healthy is the work of the city council. Please do your work. I know there is a gap now. We don't have a mayor, but whoever is there, please do it.
All right.
Happy World Environment Day.
Happy World Environment Day, Africana.